Welcome to episode 2 of Art House Garage. My name's Andrew Sweatman.
And I'm Drew Foote.
And we have a very special episode for you today. We are talking about the movie Before Sunrise, directed by Richard Linklater. Have you seen this before, Drew?
I have not, actually. That's what I was about to say. I haven't seen this movie. Never heard of it till you mentioned it the other day, which is the cool thing about movies. You always find movies never heard of. So for me and for anyone else who's listening who's never heard of, you said Before Sunrise. Mm-hmm. Tell me, give me a synopsis of the movie and what the story is and why the movie is even important. Why are we talking about it?
Absolutely. I think it's kind of one of the great movies about romance. It wasn't on my radar really either until a few years ago.
Really?
My brother told me about it, but it's actually part of a trilogy. So the three movies are Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and then Before Midnight. And so basically it's about a man and a woman, played by Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, and they meet in this first one that we're about to discuss, and then the movies are several years apart. I think like 7 to 9 years apart. I'm not sure exactly.
Oh wait, they were made 7 years or 9 years apart, or set
correct.
7 to 9 years apart.
Both. So that's the cool thing. So they literally made this movie. First one came out in 1995, and then I think 9 years later they make the next one. So they've aged 9 years. The audience, of course, has been waiting 9 years for this next episode. So it's a pretty amazing thing. So this is the same director who did the movie Boyhood, which was pretty big a few years ago. In that movie, he filmed a few days over 14 years and then put it into one long movie about a guy growing up. This director is really interested in time and just the passage of time and how that can be part of storytelling.
Normal movies, they find like a younger actor and do different things and like will put makeup on, but they film it all within a year or so. But like this director likes to actually use real time to film his movie. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty, a little bit experimental, but I mean, it's been pretty successful. He's directed some bigger name movies too. He did Dazed and Confused is one of his movies. I think that's maybe his first movie.
I've heard so many people talk about that movie. That's like one of the movies I want to watch within the next month.
It is very good. He's done some bigger ones too. School of Rock was him, actually.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny. And I've listened to some interviews with him, and that's, you know, a studio kind of thing. And he has some bigger name ones and then more indie kind of things, and kind of goes back and forth.
Okay.
There you go.
So this director, what was his name?
Richard Linklater.
Richard Linklater?
Yeah.
That's cool. So he likes to use really creative, very organic, like processes in his storytelling, like using actual letting 9 years lapse before he films the next one. And so that's pretty cool. So these two, this man and woman meet. So tell us more about the story in Before Sunrise.
Yeah. So they meet at the very beginning of the movie. They're on a train and they kind of have this instant connection, but it feels very real and they're kind of feeling it out. And then he has to get off the train for his stop. And there's this big scene where he's like, why don't you come with me? I wasn't going to get a hotel. I don't have enough money. I was just going to walk around all night. I don't want this conversation to end. Let's just hang out for the day. And long story short, she goes. And essentially the whole thing is them talking, them going around the city. I think they're in Vienna. And it feels like it feels so true to like the early parts of a relationship.
Really?
Like you remember the long talks that I had with my wife when we were first dating, of like getting to know each other and talking about life and big things and what philosophies we, you know, believe in. So they talk about, you know, religion and marriage and their parents, and they talk about sex, and they talk about like all these different things. Mm-hmm. And it just feels really true to like a real relationship. So it's pretty cool.
So, it's set in, you said Vienna, is that what you mentioned?
Yes.
So where are the two main characters from?
He is American. He's from, I think, from Texas. So Richard Linklater, the director, is from Houston. And so there's a lot of Texas kind of influence, and a lot of his movies are set in Texas.
That's cool.
Fun fact, I recently was at the Arkansas Cinema Society Filmland, and he was there. He did a screening of one of his early movies.
So that was really cool. That's cool.
In person recently. Then the female lead is Julie Delpy. She is, I think she's actually French. She's playing a French character. And yeah, she's French. I just looked it up. She's in a lot of early French films, according to IMDb that I'm looking at. But she, yeah, of course, they're both very young. And the first one is in 1995. And then, yeah, years apart from there.
So why do you feel like this movie is important? Like, what about this movie really stands out to you?
Again, it's weird because I didn't know about this movie until a few years ago, but and this whole trilogy. But it's sort of a huge name in like the indie cinema world. People point to this as, yeah, like one of the great romantic movies ever. Ethan Hawke right now is having a bit of a moment. He's in a lot of stuff lately, and
yeah,
he's just a big name in kind of indie cinema world too. And he, this is an early movie of his, and yeah, so it's kind of legendary, but it really is a wonderful movie. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I'm super excited. And what's cool about today, like you already mentioned, is you watched it with your wife. So I'm really, really interested. I really love the interview. I love the interaction between you guys in this interview. So I think for all our listeners, you guys are really going to enjoy this, especially if you're married or you're in a relationship. This is a really cool episode for you to listen to.
Yeah. One more little note. So part of what I want Arthouse Garage to be is making film accessible to people who aren't necessarily that into it. And I think that includes interviewing and discussing with people who are film novices. And my wife is self-proclaimed a film novice. And so you'll kind of hear that in the interview too, that she's not that into movies, but I think that's really cool. And that's, you know, hopefully people like her can get more into them through listening to this podcast. So anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and hear my conversation with my wife, Allison.
Okay. Now I'm going to call my best friend in Paris, who I'm supposed to have lunch with in 8 hours. Okay?
Okay.
Ring, ring. Pick up.
What?
Pick up the phone.
Oh, hello.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it for lunch today. I'm sorry. I met a guy on the train and, well, he convinced me.
So listen, here's the deal. This is what we should do. You should get off the train with me here in Vienna and come check out the town.
What?
Enough money for a hotel, so I was just gonna walk around, and it'd be a lot more fun if you came with me. Why'd you get off the train?
You trapped me.
We just got into Vienna today, and we're looking for something fun to do.
Is Breckensy English?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Could you speak German for a change?
He's kind of tall, and he's a little clumsy.
What?
We are here with my lovely wife, Allison, to discuss a lovely movie called Before Sunrise. We watched this, it's been like a week ago.
Yeah, it's been about a week.
I really enjoyed watching it with you. I was a little bit impressed that we both stayed awake because...
Yeah, it's slow.
It's not a super upbeat action movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of late and we were perpetually tired.
Yeah.
So I was happy that... Mm-hmm. I think it drew you in enough. And I had already seen it once and knew... Mm-hmm. That I loved it.
Mm-hmm. You tend to watch movies before I do and decide whether or not I will like them.
That's so true.
But also, and that informs whether or not you'll ask me to watch it. Because
that's true.
I mean, I don't commit to that many movies. Yeah. That's just kind of how it is.
And I'll say it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say that you also will choose, I think, regardless of whether or not you think I will enjoy the movie, you want me to watch lovey-dovey movies with you. And this is certainly a lovey-dovey movie.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that it's taken me a long time to really, and I still get it wrong sometimes, have a sense of what you will like and what you won't.
Yeah.
Because you don't watch as many movies as me, I want to make sure they count and like get you a good one.
Yeah, and that's how I feel all the time. And I think that's a lot of pressure for you and for me on myself. Yeah. So I just don't watch very many movies.
I should probably let that go and just know that it's okay if you don't like it as much. But mm-hmm. it also...
We can talk about why it's not easy for me to commit to movies later.
Yeah. But then we've also talked... between ourselves about how it's like a love language for me to for me to feel like you like something that I've really connected with.
Yes.
So anyway, for all those reasons, I really wanted to watch this movie with you. Mm-hmm. And we did, and you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. there, you know, I think that the moments that I was kind of like, okay, it was like, you know what, that was necessary. I enjoyed it. It was necessary for whether it was like, you know, building the characters or just like showing what it's like to be in love. Like it sometimes is very monotonous to everyone but the two people. Like it sometimes is very slow and just kind of like whatever to everybody but the two people. But if you've ever been there before, then there's also something sweet about watching it happen to two other people. So
yeah, that's cool. I was going to mention too, like, did you like the two main performances? Because I think the movie really depends on, I mean, that's basically two people talking the whole time.
It's just them. So much dialogue.
Yeah.
I did. I really did. I think that it's so funny to me because when did the movie come out?
1995. I'll double check that.
It's funny to me because like the main character, the guy,
Jesse.
So to me, Jesse and Celine. Okay. Jesse and Celine. So in my opinion, Jesse was kind of like the quintessential cool guy in the mid 1990s. And that person is kind of an eye roll to me. Yes. And so a lot of things that he did and said just annoyed me, but I totally understood like, okay, in the mid 90s, like this was the it guy.
Yeah.
I thought Celine was beautifully played. And also I want to hang out with her. And I think that that's part of my thing with movies is like, I think about it like that too much. You know what I mean? Like that guy gets on my nerves. I wouldn't want to hang out with him in real life. So why would I watch a movie with, and half of it's him, you know, but really like I can enjoy the movie apart from that.
Yeah.
And I did. And I thought that there, like I feel like throughout it, because I had those feelings about each of them, I was trying to make their relationship make sense to me, and it did. Like, it really did, even though I really, really liked her and I didn't like him very much. I mean, just like as a person, whatever. There are plenty of relationships that that's the case.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like all of us have a friend who is in a serious relationship with someone that like maybe we just kind of tolerate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that even in some very specific ways, that's kind of what their relationship was like. So it was very believable.
I'm so glad I had you on this because I didn't think about the fact that you're so just wise about relationships and emotional,
that's sweet.
Like the core of emotional feelings. And so you're breaking this movie down in a way that's, I hadn't even thought of that, all of that. I think that I agree that at a certain point I start realizing, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with this guy, but and that's another interesting point about, do we watch movies for that or do we watch it for, I can step back and see what is the story. Anyway, that's all very interesting.
Yeah.
But I agree.
I can't help but watch it in that way. And I think that's, I don't know. Well, and I also, I'm really into like typing people on different personality things. And I kind of did that with him and with her and thinking about like, okay, well, if they're those types of people, then how they fit together, you know, this relationship really does make sense. Like he's very much a skeptic. She's very whimsical. And she's like, seems to constantly be in search of whimsy. And he seems to constantly be looking for like a way to criticize, you know. And neither of those things are necessarily vices. But, you know, I am just more drawn to one as a personality.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I read or heard an interesting thing. I think it was an interview with Ethan Hawke I listened to this week. He's like blowing up right now, so it's kind of a cool reason to watch this movie too. But he talked about the director wanted this to feel like, you know, you're in a European city. It almost feels timeless in a way. Like he said the idea was you can watch this and not know, did this take place in 1970 or 2030,
because like it's a European city and sort of, everything's old.
Sort of this mystical, the buildings are old, and it really is that way. And so hopefully it's like a timeless kind of romantic feeling.
Yeah.
And I would say like watching it, it totally reminded me of me and you early on. Like you had those really long 5-hour conversations about like getting to know each other. And so it captures that feeling, I think, really well.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Did you have any particular scenes that you really liked?
I really liked the scene that was probably their longest conversation, laying in the park, And there was definitely this tension mm-hmm. of like, are they going to have sex or not? And yeah. That I feel like was played really well mm-hmm. without just being too just like raunchy. Yeah. Like it wasn't raunchy at all. It was very sweet. Like even that part of it was yeah. sweet, and they were pretty explicit about that. But then they had a conversation. Part of that conversation was mentioned on a podcast that I listen to all the time mm. called The Happier Podcast with Gretchen Rubin.
It's very serendipitous that just happened this week.
Yeah.
Too. So anyway.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, and also I'm listening. The podcast has like almost 200 episodes and I'm in the 130s or something. And this episode happens to be one in which they talk about this movie. And they talked about that conversation, and they talked about kind of like knowing yourself better and which one of the characters do you identify with when they're talking about this one particular thing. And she, Celine, talks about feeling like she is an old woman looking back at her life, and like sometimes that's just the way that she experiences life or thinks about life. And then Jesse says that he feels the opposite sometimes, mm-hmm. where he's a little boy looking ahead and like, you know, just kind of which of those are you, or are you different ones at different times? Mm-hmm. And on this podcast, they talked about it and they played the clip, and I was like, it's crazy that, you know, this is just some random movie, you know, and I actually have seen it. And so I thought that that particular part of the conversation was very interesting, but really that whole conversation was really cool. Yeah. And it reminded me of, yes, early in relationships with your sweetheart, when you are talking for hours and you just don't ever want the night to end, and you could talk to them forever.
Today we are sponsored by Riveter Solutions. Do you need a website for your small business? What about a blog to get all your great ideas out into the world? In the year 2018, the way your website looks matters. Not only does it need to look great on any device, but it should also be easy to use. The last thing you want is for your website to turn people away. If that makes you feel anxious, you aren't alone. It's a lot to think about, and that's where Riveter Solutions comes in. Whether you want to be moderately involved in the design and use of your website, or you want to never have to touch it, Riveter Solutions can make it happen with a beautiful custom website designed around your needs. Check out the websites they've designed and get started today at www.rivetersolutions.com. Yeah, did you have one of those two that you related to more, like looking back at your life or looking forward or feeling like you're a little kid?
I can't really figure it out. Yeah. I don't know. Because when I was listening to the Happier podcast, I was like, really wanting to figure it out for myself, and then I was like, I'm not really sure.
I definitely think I feel like Jesse sometimes, like mm-hmm. like I'm a little kid trying to figure yes. out life. Like you mentioned, like the word imposter syndrome.
Yeah, like about adulthood.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I can't believe like people respect me as an adult sometimes.
Or I can't believe that I have the well, and I think that people like so Gretchen and Elizabeth, her sister, they're the hosts of this Happier podcast, and they talk about like they talked about in that moment. Most of the time, they can relate to Jesse. Mm-hmm. Like they, and it's mostly about, this feeling that wait, I'm an adult. Like I am the age and have the level of responsibility that adults had whenever I was a little kid, and like that just kind of blows my mind, and it doesn't feel real. And then I mm-hmm. think about it, it's like, oh my gosh, I own a house. I have like Gretchen, the host of the show, she has a grown mm-hmm. daughter, you know, yeah. and another teenage daughter. And so I can totally relate to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I'm like, whoa, how am I an adult?
This age and we have this many children. And like, yeah. What's
yeah. Yeah. But, I guess in talking about it, I can definitely relate to that more than yeah. Celine's side. But I think that also something about a very whimsical individualistic, like personality like hers, something about that is very like attractive to me mm-hmm. for like as a friend, but I think that's because it's very different from me. Maybe mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
That's interesting. I think if I had a favorite scene, I'm not sure. There's so many good ones, but I really like when he's trying to talk her off the train, and he has mm-hmm. that comparison to think about, you know, years from now when you're married to some other guy and you think about all the boring guys you could have been with or the exciting guys you could have been with, I'll be one of those guys you talk about one day. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I think the whole series, which, so I have not seen the second or third. Mm-hmm. My thought is that we'll watch them together later. But we'll see. I know that it's like they haven't seen each other for some period of time. Mm-hmm. And they're meeting again. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's really all I know. But I'm curious to see what happens, of course.
Yeah.
But I think the whole series sort of reflects on time and that they, mm-hmm. they talk about like feeling like an old lady, feeling like a little kid, and mm-hmm. just kind of as life goes by. And Richard Linklater also directed Boyhood, which is that one that takes place over 14 years and yeah. growing up. So that's just something he's really interested in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And about that conversation about him trying to convince her to get off the train, there were several times. I think that conversation was the beginning of me like rolling my eyes at Jesse. Yeah. But it was hard because trying to convince her to get off the train, giving her that speech and everything. I kept, maybe this is the feminist in me. I kept being like, don't fall for it, Celine. Like, yeah. run for the hills, mm-hmm. go to Paris, like you were planning. But he wasn't necessarily a bad guy, and he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he just continued to do things like that.
Are you being serious? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I think I agree. Like, he's kind of an eye roll, especially as you get to know him more. But there's also something about his performance and his personality that's so alive and like so captivating yeah. to watch. And I just very, really love.
Yeah. yeah.
I think there's a lot of nonverbals too. One of my other favorite scenes is when they're in the record store, like just in this little booth.
Yeah. And he's just looking at her.
Yeah. There's no words, but they're just yeah. like looking back and forth a little bit. And there's mm-hmm. this kind of tension.
It was very tense. It was like she looks at him, he's not looking at her, but then she looks down and then he's looking at her and she's not looking at him. It was just a yeah. really like, oh my gosh, are their eyes gonna meet or is this scene gonna end? And the scene ended
on the
so.
Edge of your seat. Mm-hmm. Another similar part too, they're on the back of a train, I think,
and yeah.
they're just talking, and at one point her hair falls in front of her face, mm-hmm. and he kind of goes to move it. Uh-huh. And then she goes to move it and she kind of sees that he's just was about to do that and
yeah.
he's caught, you know, and it's just kind of yeah. and he just pulls back, mm-hmm. and there's no words exchanged, but I think it just kind yeah. of
they really cool. captured those yeah. little sweet things really well. Yeah. yeah.
Well, we can kind of wrap up, mm-hmm. but where do you have any like hopes for what's going to happen in the next movie or like
as far as the future goes, like what's going to happen in the subsequent films? And I'm excited to see them reunite. That it's been implied that that is going to happen. Yeah. And I am hopeful that my heart won't be too broken because so I feel like what happens a lot of times in real life and in movies, whenever things like this happen, whenever you leave someone and you've had the perfect like 24 hours mm-hmm. together or something, there's such high expectations for mm-hmm. you being reunited. And I'm just nervous that somehow mm-hmm. the expectations aren't even going to come close to being met
yeah.
or they're not going to be how they remember one another.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you could beat a first night mm-hmm. together like their first night. And so it's just like, where do we go from here? And I think that's even part of their conversation at the very end is like, mm-hmm. why don't we just leave on this high note and
yeah,
and always not, have this beautiful yeah. story to tell? But obviously, I'm really glad they didn't. But I'm also like, you were onto something there. And one way or another, I hope it makes for a good movie.
Yeah, like it almost has to start with some awkwardness or it won't feel real, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you remember Andrew? So Andrew and I started dating and then he moved away to England to study abroad. And I traveled there like 2 months after he moved away to spend time together over spring break in Liverpool where he was living that semester. And it was super awkward seeing each other after 2 months. And we so had been weird. Talking daily,
yeah.
you know? But it was like, I mean, we had to, I don't know, like remember what it's like to be in the same room,
see you
know?
In 3D.
Yeah, yeah. Weird. Super awkward. And I mean, it was wonderful, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there was like a couple of hours before we were like and maybe more than that mm-hmm. before we were like actually comfortable.
And I think that these two actors can maybe play that awkwardness really beautifully.
Yeah.
Given what I've seen in this movie. So
yeah. There you go. So I first heard of this. My brother told me about it just as one of the, just a really great example of a movie about a romantic relationship, and that it was a trilogy that took place over years. So that's pretty much all I knew going in. And I thought that maybe it ended with them getting together and staying together. And then we just check in over the years with like their family or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's what's going to be, we're picking up with based on how it ended. But, I'm very excited to watch the rest.
Yeah, me too.
There you go.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this evening. Hope to have you on the podcast again.
We'll see. Just kidding. Not going to be mean. Thanks. This was great. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the discussion with Allison. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, you guys are so adorable. I loved that interview so much, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay, so I've got some questions I'm dying to ask you. So, which is like the post-interview of the interview. But how did watching this movie with Allison help you enjoy the movie experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have realized in the last few years that I'm almost like protective of showing a movie that I really like to mm-hmm. someone that's really close to me. I've had some experiences where I really love this movie. I want Allison to watch it. And then she doesn't like it. And I take it way too personally. I'm like, I don't like it. So I was like nervous, but I knew she would probably connect with this one. I was pretty sure anyway. It is, as she mentioned in the interview, it's not a super action packed kind of movie. You know, it's pretty slow and they're just talking the whole time. So it's not everyone's cup of tea for that reason. But I thought that she would relate to it on the kind of the relationship side. And she did, because she is so good with navigating relationships. You know, she's worked in, like as a hall director before, and that was a big part of her job. And she's just so, so good at that. But, basically I do just watching it with her, there were things in it that I knew would feel familiar to her too, as far as like early in a relationship. So I guess that's kind of what this installment is sort of capturing, is like that young love kind of feelings. And I'm assuming it will be different. Yeah. In the next few, I think it's going to be as they age and stuff, but.
Oh, I think that's so cool. So it's like, I haven't seen the movies obviously, and I'm going to now, but it's like, what if each movie captures a different part of a relation, like the relationship process?
I think so. And they're like, what dating is like at this age or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we've, you know, people who've been through relationships, there's those stages, right? You have the honeymoon mm-hmm. stage where you're first learning everything, and then just the different stages of the relationship. And that's, wow. So that's awesome. I love that. And like, if you know that going into the movie, I think you can really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm curious. So for like, how do you see this movie like really helping us understand the human experience, or what does this say about our culture and us as humans, how we relate to each other?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big question. I don't know that I can give a definitive answer, but I like the question.
Yeah.
I think it does feel really true to like romantic love. Mm-hmm. There are some things in it that are going to be universal that people will connect with. Actually this is the movie. So in the first episode, we had the movie quote about connection, the importance of connection between people. Mm-hmm. That is one of the themes in it that, you know, maybe, and just give me a sense, I'm reading into this quote, and like, this is the thoughts going through my brain during that scene, is like, the world's a really messed up place and there's so many bad things all around, but human connection can make a big difference. And just kind of the importance of connection and relationship and community, like a snob-free film community. Just that idea of connecting with other people.
So how do you see this movie helping us connect with other people specifically? I'm curious how that fits into that, that vision.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously there is the romantic side, but I think, it's a good picture of just two people who are listening to each other too. And so they talk about big kind of philosophical things, but in a way that's very down to earth and relatable and, funny in a lot of places. I don't know. I think it encourages you to think about big ideas in kind of a cool way, even though it's a really small story.
I love it. Well, that's really, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for our listeners to go and watch the movie and see what they think about it, see what small things they pick up on the cinematography and the performances. I'm really, really curious. So I'd love to challenge anybody and everyone to watch Before Sunrise. I'm going to go watch it now and comment on Facebook, send us Facebook messages, and just tell us like what stands out to you and what your thoughts are about the movie.
And that is all for episode 2 of Art House Garage. Thank you so much for listening. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and you can watch my reactions on Stardust, as well as following both of us on Letterboxd. We are on iTunes now, so please subscribe. And if you would leave a rating or review, that would just mean the world. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.